The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby.
Up, no?
What is it that we do?
We give the people!
Oh, no. I always get nervous when you do this.
What they want.
Jalen is fired up because we have WNBA champion Sue Bird joining us later on the show. We
the
also have a
here.
Coronavirus crisis in the NFL, but we start with game four of the NBA Finals. And Jalen, it was a contested game. It was a close game. And after LeBron James had an odd first half, he turned it on in the second half. What did you see from King James?
I saw consistent greatness that has now put the Los Angeles Lakers one game away from achieving their 17th championship. And let me pay homage where it's due. Big shout to my former teammate, Rob Pelinka. I remember those turbulent days where people were assassinating his character after they were able to acquire LeBron James. Magic Johnson was the catalyst to making that happen. And people didn't think he was going to be able to rebuild the roster in championship form. You add Anthony Davis. Now, a key chess move, shout to my brother Rich Paul, because he represents LeBron. He represents AD. You know who else he represents? He represents Keith Morris. He represents KCP. All of those people were needed for the Lakers to get to this point. So I want to make sure, as much as we're acknowledging the greatness that's happening on the floor, I now help see, I am fortunate that I can see this as a Rich Paul championship, and I'm happy about seeing a friend of mine ascend to be the best in the game and put his fingerprints all over this team, so that now when LeBron and AD don't necessarily have 65 points, KCP, who the Lakers dealt with some turbulence off the floor with him, he was there before LeBron. He balled in the first, he balled in the fourth. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that, because it's beautiful to watch all of these things come into play, because the Lakers are about to win their next championship.
I'm glad you did acknowledge that, because Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has a strange relationship with the Lakers, because they have always looked at him and looked at his deals and been like, are these wink-wink deals to try to draw LeBron? Is this because he's represented by Rich Paul? And he earned every penny that he's ever been paid by this organization last night. Two huge buckets at the end. That one right there driving to the hole, finishing with his knuckles at the backboard, and a big three at the end. He had three threes, and don't sleep on this, five assists. He was a playmaker. It was a great performance from KCP when, frankly, they needed it. LeBron James had a very curious first half and turnovers, only had 8 points. He turned it on the second half. AD had a great game on the defensive end. I think one of the keys to this win was them saying, you know what we're going to do, Jimmy Butler? We're going to put who I think should be the defensive player of the year, who was the second to Giannis in the defensive player of the year voting, on Jimmy Butler. Why was that so important, and what did it do to Butler's game?
It was major, Jacoby, because if LeBron's going to lead the team in points, rebounds, and assists, this is why he's the MVP player. During the regular season, AD led in points and rebounds. If LeBron's going to do that in the finals and now lead us in scoring, AD got to do something else big to contribute. And that had to be get down in the defensive stance, use his height, use his ability to guard Jimmy Butler. And watching him mature throughout these playoffs, I'm talking about Anthony Davis, and make big-time threes and timely defensive plays and big-time blocks, just understanding that this is why he went to LA to join LeBron. And Jimmy Butler had his way against that squad in the previous game. You must take away his mid-range. You must take away his paint open looks. That's why you put the height, that's why you put the ability and the length of Anthony Davis on.
Because watching the first quarter of this game, coming off of that performance in game three, there's a part of me that was like, wait, he's 5 for 5? Like, is this going to be the Jimmy Butler finals? But then what happened was they just tightened the screws. And they said, you know what, Jimmy Butler, every time someone sets a pick for you, we're going underneath it. And I thought that was really smart because they knew he had 40 points in the previous game. They also knew that he attempted 0 threes and they dared him to shoot the threes. They dared him to take jump shots and he just didn't do it. So you and I watch all the games, but you always notice something that no one else notices, and you notice something about Anthony Davis that you wanted to articulate. What exactly is that?
I saw people fall on the floor for different reasons. Dwayne Wade always sacrificed his body. So did Allen Iverson. So when they drove to the basket and they got contact, they're going to fall and get back up. That was just their persona and their toughness. Joel Embiid, I think, falls a lot because of his injury history and just kind of has like some rubbery legs sometimes, and it's okay. Just kind of no breaks. For Anthony Davis, watching LeBron bring him to championship-level performance, it reminds me of what I saw with the late, great Kobe Bryant bringing Pau Gasol to this championship performance. Because when you're the best player in New Orleans or even in Los Angeles and you continue to fall on the floor the way Anthony Davis does, what it is, it's almost like watching boxing, Jacoby, and he's a young fighter. They're just getting used to the championship rounds. You know, somebody hit my leg. You know, somebody poked me in the eye. It's like, oh, man. And then I got to get back up because that's what it's going to take. And so this time next year, when the Lakers are potentially playing in the Western Conference Finals against the Golden State Warriors, probably, or even the Clippers, depending on who they hire as the coach, I guarantee you don't see AD falling on the floor as much. He's not going to be as fragile when it comes to that contact in the big games. He's going to be delivering the blows. Right now, he's accepting them, but his teammates around him are picking him up, and he can do something else like play defense to help his team still win.
It was his defense on Jimmy Butler that completely changed the complexion of this game because Butler started so hot in this one, and then Anthony Davis, just his length and his size. And when Butler was going to the hoop, he goes right every time, puts his shoulder in his defender, and then tries to finish. He does it every single time. And when you put your shoulder in the Anthony Davis, as we saw towards the end of the game, Anthony Davis is just so long and so good and so agile that he just got that big block on Butler towards the end. And Jalen, there's something that's important that's happening right now. Right now, this is an elimination game for the Heat. We know the Heat are going to show up. And when a team's back is to the wall, we've seen this with Denver. When a team's back into the wall, sometimes you get their best performances. Miami is known for their toughness, their culture, and their guts. So what Frank Vogel's going to need to do is he's going to need to motivate his Los Angeles Lakers team. And I know exactly how he's going to do it. If I'm Frank Vogel, I'm saying, here, if we win, we leave. Do you want to leave your hotel room? Do you want to sleep in your own bed? Do you want to eat some actual home-cooked food? Well, guess what? If we win this game on Friday, we leave. If we don't, we stay in Orlando. It's been great here in Disney Complex. Love how they've hosted us. I love how the league has put on this event. But guess what? If we win game 5, we leave. And that's exactly what I expect to happen. What are your expectations for game 5 Friday night?
Like I just mentioned, I see AD continuing to get his man bones, and I see him having a huge game. But however, the Miami Heat wouldn't be who they are if they didn't win games that were unexpected to everybody else. That's how they got out of the East. They don't have the talent on paper that Philly has, but Jimmy Butler left them. Philly had to get a new coach. What about Boston and those lottery picks? Toronto was the defending world champions. They found a way to get it done. They didn't have Giannis the back-to-back MVP. And the way Jimmy played when they got their win, without Bam, without Gorman, we didn't see that coming. So now in game 5, this is when the Miami Heat show what you just said. That toughness, that culture, and that ability to rise up and play with a level of physicality when they need it to most. And I think Bam has to be the guy. 3 different times yesterday, Rajon Rondo layup late, KCP's layup late, Anthony Davis 3, he was a weak side or a primary defender. Usually on those plays, he's a step ahead of the play. He was a step behind and a little hesitant. I think he'll be better in the next game.
Jalen, there's something I noticed about LeBron James, especially this season and especially in the bubble, that we need to break down in detail that you won't get anywhere else on this network or others. It's time for me and you to go to the table. Jalen, I'm an extremely sweaty person. I'm an extremely sweaty person, especially when I play basketball. I need a towel and like three t-shirts when I play pickup basketball. And I've noticed that there's one thing that me and LeBron James have in common, and that is being really concerned about the sweat on your hands. LeBron James is the Michael Jordan of making sure that his hands aren't sweaty. I know we're going to talk about him and MJ comparisons, but he's constantly wiping his hands on his shirt. Look right here, with the ball in his hands, wipes the hand and then takes the fadeaway. He starts the game with the powder toss to get a little dryness on his hands, and he spends every whistle just going like this to keep his hands dry. Why is LeBron James so hyper-concerned and obsessive about keeping his hands dry while he plays basketball?
Well, he's not the Michael Jordan of doing that. Let me tell you who actually that is. He's also an MVP, a two-time one. That's Steve Nash. He's the master of doing that. I actually saw him do it, I think, actually first, if I was saying who I saw do it first. But you're not about to, in my 18th year of covering the NBA Finals, get me on this television show and talk to me about a man in his sweaty hands and get me fired. I am not doing it. So just go to commercial.
Go to break. Save our jobs. Go to break.
Go to commercial.
It's a new day on ESPN Radio with new voices that have big things to say. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
That's how you build a winning culture.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz.
You are like the Einstein of life. Reading.
How ridiculously good was that?
The Max Kellerman Show.
Why not get out in front of it?
And Janae and Golic Jr.
I knew we were destined for greatness.
All day, every day.
Big names, new voices.
It is time to go to work.
Real talk. Weekdays on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and smart speakers everywhere.
Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport District of Manhattan and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen's time for you to decide what we discuss. It's Keep It Moving.
Wu-Tang! Wu-Tang!
If you want to discuss topics, then hit the brakes. Otherwise, we keep it moving and we start with a corona crisis in the NFL. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Just new today, we have a confirmed case on the New England Patriots with Stephon Gilmore. We have two more cases with the Titans and another case with the Raiders. Jalen, what does all of this mean with the NFL?
It means that there's going to be some phony hot take conspiracies across the world that says the Patriots have more people opt out than anybody. Now, Cam Newton tested. And now Stephon Gilmore tested. Like, Bill Belichick is so much smarter than everybody else. Maybe he's considering doing his next move. This is something that's going to happen all season. They're not in a bubble, Jacoby. There aren't any surprises. They're going to do what they can to continue to navigate the year. When these cases pop up, if they don't happen in mass on one team, they're going to do like they just did with Cam. They're going to have him not play, and they're going to continue the game. I believe that's what they'll try to do in this case as well.
It's like I've said before, this feels like a boat that had a big hole in it with the Titans. And then they try to plug the hole by rescheduling the Steelers game. And there was another hole, and they can move the Patriots game from Sunday to Monday. And now there just seems to be at some point there's going to be a lot of holes in this boat, and I hope there's not a full breach. I hope that we get a full 17-week NFL season with a full playoffs. However, with every single case on a new team that pops up, I get more and more concerned that that will not be what happens. Jalen, we have some news about the starting quarterback on the Washington football team. Keep moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes on this one.
Kyle Allen, formerly of the Panthers, who Ron Rivera was the coach of, is now the coach of the football team, is now been named the starter. But not only that, Alex Smith is the backup, and Dwayne Haskins is now third on the depth chart for the Washington football team. What does that tell you about Haskins' future in Washington?
Dysfunction. It reminds me of a song, Conjunction Junction, what's your function? I remember that. They used to sing hymns to teach us math, and I thought that was so intelligent. We should bring that back for television. Dwayne Haskins is a young quarterback in the NFL. He got drafted to an unstable situation. We saw the work he put in at Ohio State. Unfortunately for me, I saw it firsthand. He threw 50 touchdowns, Jacoby. It seemed like he threw them all against my Wolverines. Okay, he's a terrific prospect. If you draft him as high as you did, why are you putting Kyle Allen in the game? What is that saying to your team? What is that saying to your franchise? What does that say to his future? I know when you change coaches, they're not married to the quarterback, and I can't necessarily put it on Rivera because he just got there, but it just shows me the dysfunction when you feel like you're drafting a franchise quarterback and 2 years later, you're benching him for somebody that you know is not the future. I just don't understand that logic. I just don't.
Jalen, there are some rumors about a superstar, future Hall of Famer, coming to the New York Knicks. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
We're going to hear a lot of Chris Paul rumors this offseason. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
And very quickly, Glenn Rivers wants to be called Glenn Rivers. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Glenn Rivers no longer wants to be called Doc Rivers. Out of respect for whom, Mr. Rose?
The Julius the Doctor Irving! You know I used to write my autographs Dr. J when I was little. You couldn't tell me I wasn't a good doctor. And watch,
Jaylen.
Show that move when he did it against Michael Cooper. We got that one there. From
Jaylen.
The cradle to the grave.
We
have the good
W-N-B-A
doctor. And he's a gentleman.
NBA champion Sue Bird joining us. Stay tuned for
the
that.
Champ is here.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams from Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, the champ is here.
The champ
Sue
is here.
Sue Bird of the newly crowned WNBA champion Seattle Storm joins the program. Sue, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
So you just won your fourth WNBA title with the Storm, and you said that this team was built for the bubble. What do you mean by that?
We're just super chill. And this is like a really weird experience where if you had like a, I guess like an emotional team, right? One that like got caught up in the highs, got caught up in the lows, it might be a struggle. But we're just such a chill team. We've been together for a couple years now, so we know each other really well. No drama. So that's why we're built for the bubble. And I mean, in fairness, we had our whole roster. Not a lot of teams did. But all in all, built for the bubble.
So you're a terrific floor general, and I want to celebrate your greatness because when you and I stack our resumes up, we have a lot in common when we put them together, like five championships in Russia, five Euro leagues, four WNBA, multiple first team, all WNBA, two NCAA championships. We have two combined, Jacoby. But she does something that makes me jealous. She gets to play with Breonna Stewart. And I love Jokic for the Nuggets, and I feel the same way about Stewie. How does playing with her, has it changed your game?
You know, she's kept me young. She's kept me young. That's what she's done. It's not necessarily like changed my game. Playing with her is, as a point guard, the easiest thing. Anytime you can play with a post player who can shoot, someone who can pick and pop, someone who creates for herself and for others, it's super easy. But just having her and Jewel Lloyd, to be honest, these two young players coming in, number one picks, I was at that weird moment. I was like 34, 35 when they got drafted. And so it was kind of like, this could go one way or the other. And they kept me young. So that's really how she's impacted my game the most.
All right, Sue, you know I have to ask. What was the celebration like, and how hungover are you today?
yeah. You know, the glasses are on for a reason. I felt like it would distract from what potentially my eyes could look like. You know, the celebration was different, but it was cool. I mean, we, you know, there's no options for us. So in some ways that's good. We all kind of just kicked it together. There were some people from the other team too. The referees were around. I mean, this is wobble life. It's strange, but we made the most of it. We had a DJ, obviously some alcoholic beverages involved, and then you know how the rest goes.
Yes. Yes. Well, you guys earned it and deserve it. How about we talk so much, and rightfully so, about LeBron James and leading his team potentially to a championship and being 35 years of age. You're 40 years of age. Brady status. How long do you plan on doing this? You still winning championships.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part, right? Like, if I don't know, if I was on maybe like a rebuilding team now or one that wasn't, you know, able to compete for championships, it might be different. But it's pretty motivating when you're on this team with youngsters. I mean, you talk about LeBron teaming up with a younger player, right? Him, Anthony Davis for him. It really does like rejuvenate. It gives you like this whole, it gives you years to think about. So that's kind of where I am right now. I can't imagine it would be too many more, but if I can still do it, I'm going to try.
In that game three, you guys didn't start out hot. Anyone that sees the final score thinks it was a blowout from start to finish. At halftime, was it you were really motivated to win the game and sweep the Aces or just to leave the wobble? What was more motivating?
I'm like, yeah. So that's one of those moments you don't know what's actually happening. You feel something. You don't know what the actual motivator is. But I have to be honest, like, they came out, like you said, they came out tough. Asia Wilson had 14 points in the first quarter. We couldn't get our transition game going, you know, and Bill Laimbeer liked to call us front runners. I think he was talking about our transition game though. But then after the first quarter, we looked up the score and we were up two. So it was actually after the first quarter where we were like, guys, we just took like probably their best shot and we're up two. So that's when we were like, okay, we're going to be all right.
It was so nice to talk to you about the championship and the game, but one thing I wanted to ask you was about the bubble experience, and specifically, what was it like being in that bubble experience in the bubble when so much racial reckoning and social unrest was happening outside of the bubble?
Yeah, I think coming into the experience, there were a lot of players, and rightfully so, a little nervous about, you know, there was the quote that sticks in my mind was someone saying, you can't protest for Black Lives Matter in a bubble. So people were really nervous about, was this going to be like restricting in a way or confining, I guess. And I think what we all found was there was a certain level of strength in all of us being here together. And, you know, not only could you organize really quickly, you know, we showed what we could do there in terms of just being all on the same page, getting things done within a matter of hours. But it was also nice to have people around you that were going through the same thing, you know. So in those moments, because bubble life can be hard. There's no escape. So in those moments where you might have been feeling a certain way, you know, you had teammates or friends from other teams or, you know, whoever to kind of kick it with and either like commiserate or maybe take your mind off it. So I think it was really, as it turns out, it was the best thing, I think, for our league, having nothing to do with basketball, just from like a human being standpoint.
UWNBA players have been leaders in social justice and looking for change, and I think have been a beacon of strength for NBA players. So many times in a male-dominated industry, we focus on the sacrifices and the voices of the men. But I've always, as a huge fan of yours and of you guys' league, have been truly impressed by how you guys' leadership and unique ability to not only focus on competing on the floor, but intelligently getting your message across. In particular, as it related to the Atlanta owner, now senator, and some of the comments that she made. So how was it being in a bubble with some of your WNBA, some of your WNBA comrades, and then a circumstance like that happens when she happens to be one of the owners of a team?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot. It was a lot because, you know, she was trying to make it political for her own gain. So she was trying to say, oh, I don't stand with them because they're trying to, you know, stand with the political organization of Black Lives Matter. And so she was just kind of twisting our message. And again, we figured out pretty quickly it was for her own gain. Because like you said, she's a sitting senator now, but she's up for reelection, you know, in less than a month. So the best part about being here was, like I said, the organizing part. So we were able to, like, it was kind of like, listen, there's a Zoom call tonight. We know none of you are busy, so you better be on it. It was that kind of vibe, you know, like we had nothing to do. So we were able to get on Zoom calls just from our rooms. We were able to meet with each other face to face and have these conversations and figure out what we wanted to do. And that was the best part. And, you know, from a WNBA perspective, it is kind of in our blood, our DNA to do these types of things. And we are lucky that we have a fairly small league. It's a lot easier to organize 144 players, right, than probably 300, you know, leagues with 300, 400. So we're lucky in that way. It's like a perfect mix.
Well, Sue, thank you so much for taking the time right after winning the championship to join us. You're welcome to come back anytime. Congratulations. Enjoy your time in the bubble and enjoy getting out of the bubble.
I'm like, I'm out this. Like, I'm out. Thank you, guys.
Enjoy. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
All right.
See you later.
Jalen, we always say we're going to do exclusive content for our podcast listeners. That's exactly what we're going to do. We've got some voicemails to get to, but I want to start with this. Russell Westbrook, when he was leaving the bubble, left a tip for the people that had been servicing his room. He's been there for a long time. And I know that you're a big tipper. Biggest tipper I've ever been around. Do you know right now how much he left as a tip? Be honest.
I know how much he left and I shouldn't.
Okay. So he left $8,000 for the people that serviced his room, right? Which is, people make a big story out of that, but he's a very well-off individual. And those people, it wasn't just like he stayed there one night. You know what I mean? Like, he's been there for a long time. Perhaps he built a relationship and perhaps he needed some special treatment. You know, who knows? But when you saw that number, what did you think of?
It was just an odd, random number. But I was happy that he did it because I love Russ. And so many times we're going to talk about the score of the game, but I want to make sure I salute the NBA players for the sacrifices they made in order for us to even have a season that's going to result in a champion. Because the day we got the Breonna Taylor news, just being at work, I was sweating underneath my shirt, and I was thinking, I was like, man, there's no way I could be out there running and jumping and thinking and trying to play an NBA basketball game right now. And it reminded me of the sacrifices that they're making in order for this to happen. And so I'm disappointed that the Milwaukee Bucks didn't make the finals, but man, they're trying to change society with the stance that they took by not playing an NBA game and taking 2 hours out of their lives to call government officials in their community to get laws changed. And same for the WNBA. The ladies wearing Breonna Taylor's name on the back of their jerseys and everybody standing up for social justice. And we saw what was said by the Atlanta Dream part owner / senator. Some things that upset, you know, players in that league. So I'm just enthusiastic about what's going to happen with the league going forward. And I appreciate how they embrace the notion that Black lives actually do matter, and they're not caving to an audience of people who hide behind their Twitter feeds and or closeted about a lot of the things they actually may feel or who they may support, which is fine. And so that's kind of what I feel about these NBA finals. And I'm happy that LeBron James is going to win a championship in the same year that he started More Than a Vote, in the same year that his voice became as loud as it's ever been. Because so many times people try to put all of us in a box and have us put on blinders and just focus on one thing. And just the duality of him being able to juggle the racial achievements that we're trying to get accomplished, plus win his fourth championship while being in the bubble and sacrificing. Because, Jacoby, I don't know about you, because you do, of course you can do what you need to do for your job. So let me say that first. But the sacrifice of being a bubble, that is something, being bubbled like that, I can't recall a period in my life where that I've been like quarantined like that. So I don't know how I would personally respond to that.
Well, you you have a unique situation, right? Being a college basketball player, high school basketball player, college basketball player, and then NBA basketball player. And also just in your professional life, you're on at least three planes a week. You know, that's just your lifestyle. You're always moving. You know what I mean? You're a Rolling Stone. Detroit, Atlanta, you've got family in both spots. You know, Los Angeles, New York, you're just kind of just going between those. You know every flight attendant on every plane that goes to one of those cities, right? And I think that this the quarantine has just kind of stopped you, and that's been difficult for you. Now, if you ask me if I could, of course I could. I'm a routine person. I like the same thing. I eat the same thing for breakfast every day, same thing for lunch often. Like, I could do the bubble lifestyle and carve out my little day and just sort of copy and paste it over and over again. But I think that one thing that we haven't fully unearthed or fully understood, and we'll hear later, is just how difficult this process has been for the players. I mean, we've heard from Paul George and Jaylen Brown and LeBron James who have spoken about what's going on off the floor and how hard it is from a mental health standpoint just to sort of exist in this environment with everything that's going on inside and outside of that environment. I'm sure we'll learn more about that, but it's got to be extremely difficult, and I think the word sacrifice is appropriate in this context for what's going on. And, you know, I'm going to do this for the TV show after they win the championship, but I do want to talk about LeBron James and this journey that he's been on with the Lakers, because I remember when Anthony Davis asked for a trade and the tension between him and the young players on that team last season. And I remember when he got injured and couldn't play. And I remember him not making the playoffs after going to 9 straight finals. And I remember how this season started. Don't forget about this, Jaylen. When they were in China, there was that Daryl Morey tweet that led to so much tension and complications, and everyone, and LeBron's in China with this Laker team. You have, remember how difficult that was, and everybody inside this network and all over sports media, what's LeBron going to say? What's LeBron going to say? What's LeBron going to say? And at some point, he's got to go in front of a microphone and speak about the China-Hong Kong relationship with intelligence, and people are just looking for him to do that. And then we have the pandemic and the shutdown and the quarantine. And then we have the bubble, and then we have the racial reckoning, the fight for social injustice, and the violence from towards Black people at the hands of police and vigilantes, and then the on-court things that have to happen for him and for him to overcome and perform night in and night out. And then I think that LeBron, and I say this sort of joking, you know, you remember the cast that came on his hand after they got swept? You know what I mean? You remember, like, he always kind of just, like, lets you know how hard everything was. And I'm sure that there is a statement, a press conference, a speech, a letter, a something coming from him that will detail just how difficult this Lakers season was. Because while they, I think, will go 4-1, and I think all their series in the postseason, right? They lost one game in every series if they win Friday night. Like, I think that on paper looks like a smooth ride to a championship. And the injury to Goran and Bam, people will try to put an asterisk next to it. But no one put an asterisk next to the Raptors championship when two of the best players on the Warriors went down. So I think that I just want to recognize how difficult this journey has been for LeBron and these Lakers for so many different reasons, you know, including just this season, including the China start to the season, the pandemic coming, and then the racial unrest and the bubble. And man, it's been a lot, but it was fun to watch him hit those threes in the fourth quarter yesterday. Those are bad shots. Those are superstar bad shots. You know exactly which ones I'm talking about. When he's two steps behind the line at the top of the key, he doesn't even do his little sidestep thing, just pulls up. He hit two of those and I was like, oh Bron, you can't rely on that. He took a third one just to see what would happen. Now, Jaylen,
you brought up Anthony Davis. I Googled something. September 25th, 2018, Jalen Rose predicts New Orleans Pelicans star Anthony Davis will be on the Los Angeles Lakers on Jalen and Jacoby. And I bring that up because, and I mentioned this on the TV show, Everybody need to put some respect on Rich Paul's name.
Yes.
Now, the way you just said what you said about LeBron, I told y'all on TV, when I saw Bronny's post, Lakers in three, LeBron trying to get to the crib. He trying to get to the crib.
Have you seen the meme of him giving Jimmy Butler a pound? Have you seen that one? It's a Photoshop of Bronny giving Jimmy Butler a pound, being like, I need you to do this two more times. You gotta keep dad out the house.
And so Rich Paul now, his piece is in one big chess game. And I know more than I say, and sometimes I say more than I should. There were professional droppings that were taking place planting the seed for LeBron to leave Cleveland. And a couple of them happened underneath everybody's noses. One was that they moved their operations, the LRMR operations, from Ohio to California.
Mm-hmm.
When that transition took place with Randy, Mav, and Rich, one of the things that we also talked about on this program is they acquired KCP. And you now see him playing in the first and the fourth quarter now, but that was a seed that Rich was planting with the Lakers. That, hey, if you listen to me, I may be able to get you LeBron. KCP dealt with some turbulence off the floor to the point where he was basically on house arrest playing games. And they still believed in him. They still rolled with him. And I appreciate that. And so LeBron comes. Magic steps down. And you know that's my childhood idol. And I remember being on this show and on Get Up and on SportsCenter, and people were saying it was just because of my college teammate, but a lot of people was assassinating Rob Pelinka's character right after that took place.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he was able to do? He's able to acquire Anthony Davis. And the only reason why the Pelicans traded is because they got the number one pick and they knew they were getting Zion. So just think about this. The Lakers weren't in the playoffs last year, and they're gonna win the championship this year. The Pelicans got Zion, didn't make the playoffs, and Alvin got fired. Life come at you fast in the NBA. And what else happens during the year? Keith Morris, let's go. Get you to LA. Now he's starting in the finals. So four of those dudes were direct moves on the chessboard of Rich Paul and Rob Pelinka working in tandem to put together a team for LeBron James to legitimately win a championship in LA. Now, I did pick the Clippers to beat them, but I ain't think they the did. Clippers was going to lose to Denver, but that's on them. That's on them. I want to make sure, unlike what you just said, ain't going to be no, it looked easy because it's 4-1. Because they're in a bubble, emotionally and psychologically, and the climate that we're in right now, mentally, like you said, you're going to see a lot of people leave the bubble. And while it's, I don't want to compare it to getting out of jail, but when you've been somewhere 90 days and then you leave, it's just like the air smells different. You gotta regenerate a level of energy per se as an adult and as a human being. So like you said, there are going to be a lot of stories of people talking about things they needed to overcome while in the bubble and still need to overcome once they exit.
Oh yeah. I mean, this will go down as, I mean, I probably the most historic season ever played in the NBA. Like I hope there will not be another season from start to finish like this one in the NBA. This has been truly unique. And I think that, you know, I've been working in sports media for 20 years and I've seen all the tape. You know, I started as a PA, you know, in the basement in Bristol, you know, putting tape together. And the tape from these finals, like, you're going to know which finals the 2020 finals are. You know, like, they're just going to look and feel so different than any other finals. Because you watch The Last Dance and you're like, wait a second, is this... is this 92 or is this 96? Like, where are we in the timeline? Because it all kind of looks the same because they're wearing the same uniforms. It's all kind of shot the same way. But this finals, you will know which ones these are, which is what makes them so special and so important. And Jalen, I'm going to switch gears. I've got some too hot for TV bubble news. Now, this is completely irresponsible, unsourced information that I got from a website I've never heard of. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to bring it up. There's a young woman in the bubble as a guest of Tyler Hero, who we've talked about on this show and I've done a lot of research on, Katya Elise Henry. Well, there's another young woman on Instagram who took a screenshot of what she is saying is a DM from Tyler Hero. Now, I don't know if this happened, but Jalen, how do you think about how Tyler is allegedly moving in the bubble?
20 years old, man.
That's what I thought.
That's the best way
to put
it.
The first thing that came to my mind, too.
It's two different parts of my life. It's the part before. Let me say this right. It's the part before 20. No. It's the part before 13. It's the part before 16. It's the part before 18. It's the part before 21. It's the part before 30. It's the part before 35. And then everything after 40. Right now, no consequences to his actions. He's supposed to be in every DM he can.
None.
He's supposed to be in every DM he can. He on the biggest stage. He playing in the finals. He balling. He got memes of his lip quivering. I bet she saw that. I bet she saw that.
Well, I want to say this, and no one's really said this, is ever since that 37-point game, Tyler Hero hasn't played that well. He got some buckets yesterday. He had some buckets in the fourth quarter. Like, he ended up, what did he end up with? Probably like 20 points. He ended up with 21 points, but he hasn't really played as well as, you know, I know he's not going to score 37 again, but he hasn't really lit it up ever since that game. There's a part of me that maybe he might be feeling himself a little bit after that 37-point game. I think it's going to happen naturally because it is not happening naturally for him in the bubble right now. And we didn't get enough time to talk about it on the television broadcast, which is why I'm glad we have podcast exclusive. But the Knicks better not bring Chris Paul. Chris Paul's great. I love his game. I love what he does on and off the floor. But if the Knicks really, because I think him and Leon Rose, who's now with the Knicks, have a relationship. If the Knicks think that the future of this franchise is sacrificing young players and potential draft picks to bring in Chris Paul to go to the playoffs and lose in best case scenario the second round of the playoffs, like that's the plan. What do you think about Chris Paul and the Knicks?
Room? Here's what I believe. If you the Knicks, I disagree with you. You'd be happy to have Chris Paul on your team. But if you Chris Paul, you don't want to be playing for the Knicks right now.
No.
There's two separate things. And let me tell you why I disagree with you. Let me stress what I said. If I'm Chris Paul, I do not want to play next season for the Knicks. As a matter of fact, I wish he wouldn't have had to play this season for the Thunder. We needed to see that year that he performed. I'm going to give you a couple of uniforms. You either put him in Miami or put him in Milwaukee and give me that same season.
Yep.
Now we're not looking at a better Eastern Conference playoff and a different, probably Eastern Conference, different NBA final. Okay.
Absolutely.
As you get up older in age, in particular as was considered a smaller guard, and Chris Paul is a physical player and a mid-range player, you only have, it's like a used car. You only gonna have so much, you know, tread on those tires. And I want to see him only playing for a contender at this point of his career. Let me tell you why, if you the Knicks, you celebrate acquiring him.
Disagree.
Who on their team, Jacoby, do you want to build around?
Mitchell Robinson. He's their only like real asset is Mitchell Robinson. I'm not kidding. I mean, RJ Barrett is what you want me to say, but Mitchell Robinson's probably their best asset.
No, I'm doling your tips, right? And I ask you who you want to build around. You'll say Mitchell Robinson, and then you'll say RJ, right? Fair based on their roster. Like, you just took RJ in the lottery. He showed that he could score the ball. I think he has all-star potential. I don't think he has superstar potential. And Mitchell Robinson can be an effective rim running, shot blocking, lob catching big. And there's always a place in the game for them. So then the next thing I'll say to you is that means the other 13 guys are replaceable.
For the most part.
And since I'm going to pay these 13 guys to play basketball this year, I might as well try to acquire somebody that's going to give me an identity of professionalism in my locker room, like he just helped do in OKC. See, there's value in that. And so now you may get some fringe vets to come play there, but you know what? Between him and Tibbs, I know my team is going to be professional. I know it's going to work hard. And I know it's not going to be a laughing stock. That's what you don't want to be. That's what you're paying for. You're paying so that the team is putting a respectable product out on the floor, and you have somebody talking to the media after the game that actually has a pulse. That's what you're paying for. That's why your franchise is $5 billion. And so if they can get Chris Paul, it'd be great for them, but it'd be bad for him.
Would you trade Randall, Kevin Knox, and a first-round pick for Chris Paul?
Randall, who I like, he could be a 20-point scorer. Knox, who still got some more work to do. He's a wing. He could have potential. He can. He got to play harder. Not a first-round pick.
That's the thing. It's the pick. No. The pick is the thing. If I'm the Knicks, I'm hanging up the phone if anyone wants a first-round pick, because they're not putting together a championship team without hitting on some draft pick.
No.
That's exactly what I think too.
But see, this is what I was trying to tell you about the Doc signing. That really tells me, and I know relationships with these people also helps, but where an organization is trying to go. When you sign Tibbs, you ain't trying to build through the draft. That's what that says to me. You ain't trying to build through the draft.
What are they trying to do? what are they trying to do? Yeah. I see their roster.
Acquire vets.
And losing the second round. Best case scenario, losing the second
trades.
Round.
Via trades. If they lose in the second round, you'll go to a COVID parade.
I'm not going to a COVID parade. If there's still COVID in the second round of the playoffs the next season, I think I'm going to be 400 pounds. I need to go to the gym. I can't just be jogging anymore. I'm tired of jogging. Come on, COVID, go away. Go away. I'm concerned about the NFL, Jalen Rose. I'm concerned about the NFL. We always say call 95-80-Jalen.
They'll get to a champion, Jaylen. Ultimately. It's going to be a couple of interruptions, but they'll get to a champion.
All right, let me ask you yes or no questions that you answer yes or no. Right? Do the Titans play 16 regular season games?
No. Because they've already got one that's been postponed/canceled. And that was moved to a bye week, which means that it really no making that up. Let me tell you what's really about to happen in 5-4-3-2-1 that I'm waiting for. Daily fantasy can survive, but yearly fantasy going to be in shambles soon.
Is it? Yeah, it is. You spent a pick on Derrick Henry.
Yearly shambles?
Trust me,
I play
three
this
bye
stuff
weeks.
All day. I play it's, all day. Yearly fantasy is about to be in shambles.
We need Matt Barry. We need Matt Barry to just make some proclamations. You know what I mean? He needs to be the commissioner of commissioners. Like, he needs to make some proclamations. Be like, here's how it's going to work. That's what he needs to do. I want to thank Sue Bird for coming on the show today. And I want to remind everybody to call 985-80-JALEN to leave us voicemails. We will be back tomorrow with a special guest on the TV program that you've already heard because you're an exclusive podcast listener, Spencer Haywood. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done.
Yeah.